This is Radio Edu Talk, and it is Wednesday, the 6th of February, 2013. What you're going to hear now is the broadcast that we made with Tim Rylands. Unfortunately, the introduction to the show hasn't been recorded, so we start with Tim beginning his sort of presentation of the A to Z of online tools or tools for teachers. We didn't get very far into the alphabet before the conversation flowed away. Apologies for the missing introduction. Tim can be followed at Tim Rylands on Twitter and found at timrylands.com on the internet.
Graphics and so on. I have a face for radio and a voice for telly. It's quite unusual for me to do something just purely auditory. What I thought we'd have a look at is, you know, you said my A to Z. It's just I sat down before we came on and thought, what favourite tools I might use. If I explain my background, I was a teacher for many years and then was mainly known for writing musicals for children, and then quite surreally again got nominated for a BECTA ICT in Practice Award, and have now been almost dragged down the route of ICT, but our focus, Sarah and I, is more about the learning that springs from it. But I thought, if it was all right with you, I might run through some of my favourite tools. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, that's fantastic, Tim. And if you're listening to the live stream, then, of course, as ever, you can get in touch with our guest. Our guest tonight being Tim Rylands. You can put something up on Twitter. If you include the hashtag EduTalk, then we'll pick that up. If a more traditional email is your favoured method of communication, then if you just email us at edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk. So take it away, Tim.
Well, I'm going to start in the most odd way again. My word of the evening seems to be surreal. I'm going to start with A as analogue. In a world of digits, I do think it's important. You know, we put our children in closed rooms, staring at a wall and pretending they're learning about life. And in many respects, we're sort of seeming to find out how they can sit for an hour unnoticed and get away with it. But that alone, I think getting children outside, get scratched by it, sniff it, pick it up, is one of the most important elements. So I'd recommend, have you seen 50 things to do before you're 11 and three quarters? Things like start a snail race, balance on a tree, and also Tim Meek's Do Try This at Home, a fantastic collection of analog outdoor activities involving a bit of digital, but getting them outside is, for me, one of the most important elements. If I was going to say a tool for A, well, Audacity, something that's been around for a little while, building up layers of sound. But once you've done it, Audio Boo is a way to get that audio maybe onto a blog or a website. For B, I would say blogging. I think blogging, the power of making the walls of our schools transparent, giving our children a voice, a reason to want to polish something up and make it better. Any age, any ability, working on accuracy, having a voice, you know, wanting to write an instant audience, but going beyond that, a value in knowing that they're going to be read and maybe commented upon by somebody else. So I'd add to the blogging, quad blogging. Deputy Mitchell, bless David, for his unbending efforts to get groups of four schools together so that when children are writing, they at least know that three other of their peers will be reading and interacting, and the power of peer, well, not pressure, but the peer power, we could call it, of children interacting. Sometimes we can go chumming on as a teacher for absolutely ages, get a little comment from a child of the same age, you know, have you thought about putting a comma in here? And suddenly it seems to make sense. C, I'd go for, well, challenge and collaboration. I think if we teach children to press the blue one, they'll only ever press the blue one. So we need to be thinking about building in, knowing how to work across platforms and tackle interesting, hopefully, but real challenges, something that has come real from the children we're working with, rather than us just setting some almost false adult-centric version of real. And the collaboration element with, you know, Google Docs and Dropbox and everything else, I'd add, go and have a look at cloudlearn.net, which is the Heppels, having a look at how, well, the positive benefits, you know, the fog at my homework. In terms of D, I've got a few gorgeous, I mean, I've got loads more here, and what we could probably do for each of these letters is put up a long list somewhere, or if people want to get in touch, I can chuck them the other things like Kaku and Clever as a way of making virtual panoramas. For D, I'd choose as a tool Dragon Dictation. Just speak into Dragon, and it's an iPhone and other smartphone app, and it automatically turns your spoken word into text. It's not always perfect. The first time I was using it, I was Sarah was driving and my daughter Ellie was with us, and I went driving with Sarah and Ellie, and then I remembered you could put commas in, so I went driving with Sarah and Ellie, comma, to Wales, and thankfully neither of them had easily offended, because it came up with driving with Sarah and Ellie to Wales. They're not that large. And Dropbox is a brilliant thing where you can chuck photographs into it and make a collection of amazing tools. Now, D, don't panic. What we thought we might do, if anybody wants to know some of these, we keep a blog, timrylands.com. Refreshingly, we have nothing to sell, and you don't get put on an emailing list unless you want to subscribe. And what people do is get an email every about 4 o'clock in the morning with our free link of the day, and if somebody wants to send us an email, we can jot all these down. How's it going to the other end of this ramble?
It sounds good, Tim. A couple of things that strike me, I mean, that we're going through a bunch of tools that pretty much anybody can sign up and use, and I'm struck by the times. I've never seen you actually teach in the flesh, but, so to speak, I've seen the videos of you working with your classroom. I don't know if they're on YouTube or somewhere else. When you were working with kids using Mist, and it was a darkened class, I think, and you were sort of steering through the thing. And the thing that struck me, because I know there's a lot of people have picked up on this, I know whole local authorities have sort of embraced it and tried to emulate it, but an awful lot of it seemed to me to come from, not from the software, not from the tool, but from the way you used it, from your personality, from your interaction with children and things.
Well, thank you. I mean, those videos are a short, brief glimpse into a set-up situation. Yeah. What we do now, Sarah and I, is we are blessed to be travelling all the way around the country and all the way around the world. I mean, in the last 18 months, we've been in India, Vietnam, Qatar, Denmark, 6 times, you know, all over the world. Our role really now is a balance between splattering people with a huge amount of, as everything I've showed you tonight and talked about is free, a lot of web-based technologies, but of course people still are fascinated by the power of the games-based learning aspect. The surreal thing is, and I don't know whether you know, I'm kind of known as the mist bloke, you know, yeah. We turn up, people go, oh, hello, mist horizons, and quite odd, I've never actually played the game Mist.
But you've used it in the classroom as a walkthrough.
I've never used it in a classroom. Yeah. No, I've never used the game Mist in the classroom.
What were the games you were using in the...
Well, I have used other games in the Mist series.
Riven and stuff, okay. Yeah.
Riven, the second game. The game we recommend most people to try is Mist 3, and Exile, and Mist 4, Revelation. But really, it's not about the game.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, some people hear about it, and they go, right, well, I'll get the game and go here, do this, do that. It's the opposite. It's about taking your time and standing still in one of these beautiful immersive landscapes, and the writing, the talk that can, you know, come from that. And as Tom Holder has just tweeted, Real Mist is available on the iPad, and it is pretty good, yeah. Tom. Now, Tom Holder, tholder81, on Twitter, there's a man who's taken to the idea and flown, doing some amazing things. Get in touch with Tom and have a look at some of the blogging that his children have been doing, some remarkable inventive things. So I do find it, well, there's that word again, slightly surreal that I'm known as the Mist Man, because it is a powerful, useful, it's an incredibly effective thing to get children who perhaps don't normally want to write up and going, but it is still only one element of what we do. But also, as you've well spotted, it's actually about a teaching style, really, rather than the tool itself.
Yeah, I got the impression that you could have probably done that with all sorts of things, with real, you know, out in a field sort of thing, almost immersing the kids in. You were saying about getting outside earlier.
Well, I mean, the thing is, having a virtual world and one group of children to interact with it, as it were, verbally and writing, it's almost like I'm not advocating it as a don't go outside. It's actually an alternative method of getting children to build skills that when they go outside, they are able to collaborate, to talk, to share, to write descriptively about it, maybe, or, maybe the problem solving, maybe an aspect of journalistic writing or instructions. Whatever it is, it's building a group passion for wanting to learn, yeah. Maybe, in less able children. Very often now, Sarah and I are invited into schools that maybe are already doing some remarkable ICT things, but maybe have a slight issue with writing, let's say, or getting, well, not just boys, but getting children wanting to learn. And what we do is a day of looking at the digital, and then a day when people come to watch me teaching. Because unlike the films, it's a lot more, well, there's an awful lot more happens. And, you know, it's looking at classroom management and a way of teaching that gets students of any age up and flying.
Just a quick question, Tim. It's David Noble here. You mentioned the term games-based learning, and I know that that's certainly in recent times has been quite kind of contested about what we actually mean by that, and does it need to involve digital resources. I'm just wondering, though, you said your work with certain editions of Myst. Would you see more benefit for teachers in classes working with in terms of games-based learning around activities and resources which don't encourage their competitive nature, or do you think there is a place for games-based learning where there is an outcome in terms of kind of competition against classmates built into the activities?
Both, to be frank. I suppose the majority of my experience is using games as a stimulus for other elements of learning, and we have to remember it's about what flows from it. You know, it goes beyond the wow factor into the why factor. When it comes to competitive games, I do feel that if the focus is on the competitive game rather than maybe again pamphlet making and writing around it and the mathematics that might flow from it, then if the game becomes the focus, if your children are, you know, go here sir, do this miss, click on that sir, then you've lost a focus. You've lost the idea that it is about, as we've said, the learning that can flow from whatever stimulus. And you're right, it doesn't have to be digital. The aspect of taking, enjoying something and building the learning that can flow from that is the power of it. I mean, we talk about games, you have to choose carefully. I mean, if you were to use even the most peaceful parts of Grand Theft Auto with a primary age class, you wouldn't have a leg to stand on if Mrs. Coggins came in and complained again. So it's choosing carefully, which is why I might say for my e-link was the work that people have picked up on using Epic Citadel. It's not actually a game, it's an immersive environment and a stunning landscape unpopulated which we can populate. And the huge amount of have a look at Simon Widdowson, Zanov, XANNOV on Twitter, and the remarkable work that his children, primary age children, took off and explored using Epic Citadel as really just a blank canvas.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of his kids, he was actually just giving them screenshots rather than, if I'm thinking of the right
yes,
blog.
Absolutely.
They didn't have enough devices for them all to look at the actual the app, and some of them were just working off a collection of screenshots and things, which I thought was really
exactly. And also, when we started using Citadel, it was impossible, nigh-on, to project from an iPad. Now, with the opportunity to mirror, you bring it back to having one experience. You know, the teacher and a whole group having the same experience. Occasionally, there is a real power in giving out, you know, iPads or whatever the device, and letting the children go independently at more pace through some of the experiences. But I do feel that has to be monitored and rationed, because it's the aspect of not keeping control, but keeping a certain overview of where what happens and, you know, what stimulus, so that you can really gain some quality learning experiences as well. So
I suppose the thing you're doing when you as well sharing it is you're showing that we don't need to be doing one-to-one, and we don't need to, you know, have a surfeit of hardware. It's not about that sort of use of ICT.
No, it's, you know, I mean, when we're invited into clusters of schools, and within those clusters, you can get a school that is well equipped and a school that is really just starting out on their voyage of, or struggling with their voyage of equipment. And the big thing that we do, well, Sarah and I have a strange hobby. We collect Margarets. Because we've had a couple of Margarets in different places that we've worked say to us, oh, I can't. And it won't. Our aim is to build confidence within these people that whatever these things are, whether it is the games based, whether it's a web tool, they are accessible, they're simple, they're free, majority of them, at least cheap or open source, or have aspects that are accessible in an affordable way. But more importantly, they're not rocket science.
Yeah.
Things like, you know, it's remarkable how sometimes people haven't heard of Wordle, you know, on a basic level almost now, Wordle being ubiquitous, being everywhere.
Yeah.
And then taking it step forward to things like Tuxedo and bringing words alive. Again, I taught for 3 years in Sidmouth in Devon, 4 years in West Africa, 8 years on the Bourne for the state in Western Supermare, which is the third highest social deprivation area in the southwest of England. And there I had to develop different ways to get my children coming to school for a start, but also talking, sharing, to build their experiences as well as their vocabulary. I mean, I've just seen on Twitter, we're talking that Tom's written a great thing, think many mistake ICT for going on the computers and forget the communication part of it. Absolutely perfect. It's what they say rather than what they use to say it. You know,
yeah, I was
starting off on my first part of my A to Z, but I would entreat people to remember it's about taking your time. Choose a tool, whether it's a game or it's a web thing. And what we entreat people to do is not to go home after our 2 days working in their schools and plan a unit of work based on anything we're talking about. I mean, I'm not... my planning folder is a stupidly thick thing. It's a bit like me, but it's the aspect of take one of these things, try it, play with it. People might plan a games-based aspect. We'll go here, we'll do this, we'll do that. In reality, they might just stand still and be swamped in that place to smell it, to hear it, you know, feel the wind, the cold, like ice shards across your skin. Not quite like that. Let's write that one down.
But hopefully you can copy it off the archive. Yeah, I'm thinking that, you know, you're doing an A to Z, or and your blog and many other ICT, or who people are perceived as ICT evangelists, have, you know, lists of a number of tools, and it's possibly more valuable to take one, you know, just stick at A, take Audacity and spend a long time doing that, using that.
Yeah, utterly. For example, we're often asked to talk at conferences, which I love, but I feel it's utterly irresponsible. You know, we talk about sage, as in sage on the stage, but sage could also be scalable, adaptable graphics environment. The idea of, you know, me just standing there going, there's this.
Yeah.
Well, when we're able to do it properly, it's about taking the time to look at a progression through some of these things, you know, A to Z. I thought just for a laugh we'll have a go, but it's not. It's about starting with maybe a still object. You know, I'm mentioning Tom a few times. Tom had a brilliant thing that he picked up on, the idea of the artifact as a place to start. You know, we often either walking stick, Mr. Walker, he's a cane and he has holes in it, and we get the children guessing why Mr. Walker might be full of holes, and thousands of children now have come up with some incredible ideas. You know, he's an incredibly thin window box for an incredibly thin window ledge. He's a pencil. And Tom, the idea of having a big box and what could lie within this crate. Yeah, then looking at still image, and then we might have a look at broadening it into panoramas and moving panoramas using something like panoramas.dk. But it's not turning, it's not moving, it's standing still. And then you might just move one small, almost like a digital version of glimpsing to the left. And yeah, slowing down. As you say, people, we keep our blog, it's just become a personal fun challenge. We write up everywhere we go, but also just on a daily basis, just for, as I say, almost like one of these 365 projects. But most days, almost, well, every day apart from decidedly less digital December and almost analog August, we put up a link a day because it's a fun challenge, yeah. But it also helps me learn an awful lot in terms of finding new resources. But it's not about the new shiny toy. It's not about, right, here's a link. It's taking time using one of them, running it into the ground, then planning it into the ground. You know, these things, they're all very good, but if we just get, as we say, you know, oh, we had some lovely photographs and they really enjoyed it, that's not enough. Yeah. It has to be about the impact that it can have, whether that's on confidence or creativity, if there is such a thing, or standards. You know, it has to be the learning, again, that flows from it.
Yeah, I'd say another contributor to EduTalk, Ian Fields, Ian in Sheffield, last year did a 365 web tools in a year, and he did a podcast about every single one. And mm-hmm. I thought that'd be a great resource for 365 teachers. You know, so what, you get one each, and you run with that for a while, and
do something like that. What we do, I'm a lucky man. We are incredibly busy. The only way we are busy is when we are invited to go to work with schools who realize that maybe they have the technology, starting to sound like some old sci-fi television program, but they have the technology. It's how it can be applied effectively, or they have an issue, as we said, with writing, or, you know, getting children wanting to turn up to school, let alone build their own skills. And that's the aspect that I love about, I mean, if you do a job you enjoy, you never do a day's work in your life. We work 25 hours a day on something which for me is a total joy, because it's positive, reinforcing, it's just constantly looking at how you can, if you think about it, we as teachers are constantly dealing with failure, of failure, and that can have an incredibly negative impact on our health, let alone standards within our classroom. And we can panic plan out of it, or we search for the new shiny gadget. It's about taking one of these things, or maybe a collection, but one that's appropriate for those children that we're working with. The idea of choosing the appropriate, whether it's a stimulus or a tool to get children collaborating. I mean, I jokingly started off in an A to Z, because if you think about it, we need to know these things, but the majority of your listeners will already know practically everything I've already mentioned for a start. But again, if it's new, that's not the thing, is it? It's maybe going back to an old tool, taking something that worked for one class doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for the next ones. It's looking at needs and finding resources and teaching styles that make the difference.
Yeah, and I remember, I think that's back to my point, is that, you know, your teaching style has obviously made an incredible impression on many people. And
thank you. That, I mean, the wonderful thing that I'm blessed is that, you know, our training day is digital. Our teaching day, what we do is we have, you know, two good long teaching sessions in a day, year six maybe, in year two, or, you know, when going up into secondary, it can be different. And we have 60 children in a hall so that we can free up more members of staff from the hosting school, but more so that we can lose other teachers in amongst the children, mucking in, modelling, scribing, or modelling. In other words, a lot of our children, or many, have never seen what enjoying writing looks like. And I think having a teacher sat and having a go and getting lost in the joy of writing, when I started with my A as being analog, if you go and have a look at the website, and again, like I said, we've got nothing to sell, you'll see thousands of Sarah's stunning pictures of children with scribbly sticks in their hands and pieces of paper. And what they're doing is an analog response to a digital stimulus. Yes, we might have one of the landscapes, and it becomes not, well, we don't slip from being here to being there, or what can you see on the, it's more, it becomes part of where we are.
Tom, it's David again. You're talking about your A to Z list, which I'm sure you've got in front of you. I'm wondering, maybe further down the list, linking back to something you said a moment ago, are there tools there, resources, websites, whatever, that you have found yourself going back to after some time?
Well, games are frequently a returning spot for me. You know, I joked about the missed aspect, and I found games and other aspects that I find are, you know, they, you have to look at the rating. We find a Wii game, Wild Earth African Safari, in a bargain bin in a Sainsbury's in Plymouth when we were down there sailing, and thought, uh-huh. And the learning that's flown from that, and lots of people have picked up on the idea of going on virtual safaris. So, yeah, games, but then integrating elements in with that, and the combination of getting them outside. So for me, a lot of the handheld aspects, things like, well, finding tools that aren't necessarily supposed to be used in an educational context and looking at them from a slightly different angle. Things like RunKeeper. You know, RunKeeper is a tool that's a brilliant thing. Again, it's free. Everything I'm mentioning is free. But I don't think we should always expect everything to be free, but RunKeeper is a tool that's used to get people basically off their arses, off their couches on January the 1st onwards. You tell RunKeeper what you're going to do, whether it's running, skiing, skipping. Unfortunately, there is no staggering around slightly drunkenly, which is my method of perambulation these days, but you go out and it records what you've done as your exercise. And then thinking, and it doesn't take a genius to do so, what about if we use that on a smaller scale? And so you can use even a second-hand old smartphone, you know, an old first-generation iPhone. They're hanging around. You don't need a SIM card in it for it to know where it is. So that when your children perhaps go off on a field trip or just around the buildings, you know, and do some exploration, it records where they've gone, the speed they were going, the height, the elevation, records all that data, and because you've asked it to, sends it to a map and plots everything for you then to analyse, whether that's maths or geography or anything else that flows from it. So yeah, I like finding oddities, things, as I say, that weren't designed to be used in education, and thinking about how they could bring learning alive even more.
Well, I think that's where, I mean, the original push for Web 2 wasn't designed for education, and we've kind of taken it and twisted it and bent it as much.
You obviously need to be careful. I mean, we have to have our e-safety helmets on. You have to be thinking about guidance. But I think because the web is a web and it has dark and dingy spiders, sometimes we get paranoid about the potential for something dodgy, that we don't use the quality effectively. We have a teacher's responsibility to protect our children, and you know, filtering isn't the only answer. In fact, it can be sometimes, you know, they go home and search in an unfiltered sense. So we have to help them know what to do when they find things that shock or offend. But I think we do have, you know, I started by saying it, we are, in some ways, we're competing with the social, the informal learning that our children are very used to at home, many of them anyway, and in some respects we're coming off second best. So it's not about the tool, it's how it's applied. You said, you know, would I go back? There are, I feel slightly irresponsible that just putting up a link a day, if people were to think, right, well, you abandon the old stuff. If you look at it, when I started teaching 27 years ago, my first teaching computer was a BBC B. But it's all come in full circle, because in those days it was if, then, go to, run. And now we seem to be, you know, are you stuck in an infinite loop? No. Yes. No. Yes. We're now getting back to the whole aspect of getting our students to think inside the box again, which for me is a total joy. You know, Arduino and the Raspberry Pi.
You were saying Pis, they've even done the AB thing to mimic your BBC.
Yep. Yeah. And the flashing cursor and the white, you know, and... You know, things like Computer Science Unplugged and Code Academy and Hackasaurus and, you know, the other Mozilla, what's it called? The Thimble.
Yeah.
And Steve Bunce, bless him, with his social networking, as we've been jokingly calling it. The idea of getting children to look at programming blocks of code and trying it out, you know, a library of stitches and repeat it 20 times, repeat until, and if you make a mistake you have to debug it and work out where the mistake is, go back and work it out to fix that mistake, taking modules, as it were, that other people have written in patterns. It's the whole principles of thought, and I love the idea now that it's getting the credence that it deserves in terms of, well, I suppose on a big basis, if you imagine if we didn't get back down to it now, the concepts would sadly slowly fade, with all of us just pressing return quite frequently. I hope this is making sense.
It's making good sense. I think it's a good... We've got a lovely rhythm going on. There's a couple of things it, like ones you touched on a wee while ago, and that was about, you know, that your audience to some extent know about these tools already. And maybe the audience we've got here, or the audience that will read your blog. And one of the things I'm kind of concerned about is that the people at the cutting edge, or the people that are taking new tools, is there's still an awful lot of people who are not even aware that this stuff is going on.
Well, exactly. I mean, if I, you know, maybe another time we could do, because I'm quite glad we're not going to go just chunning through a list, because that, in some ways, is what I get dragged into. But maybe sometime we can finish that list off. You know, I don't mind coming back, and we do, because there's a huge amount of things that even the people who are up to speed, you know, occasionally something pops up that, you know, like, I don't know. Have you heard of the Inkle Writer?
Oh, sorry?
Inkle Writer.
Inkle Writer? No, I don't think.
Yeah, Inkle Writer is a great way of making branching, non-linear text. You know, I don't know.
Oh, it's like a adventure game.
It's almost like the old books, you know, that if you want to slay the dragon, turn to page 76. If you want to head deeper into the jungle... But it could be about a science principle. And Inkle Writer is a free tool that students can make non-linear branching text. As I said, could be a story. But I personally think it's the aspect of picking apart how we use these things. You know, it's I everything at the moment. And whether it's, I don't know, whatever the platform, I swing both ways. I use a Mac and a PC, and we're using, you know, all forms of tablets. Again, it's not what they use, it's what they say. You know, if you think about it, I'm blessed. I don't know whether you've ever seen me doing a presentation, but at the end of my presentations, they're a bit more like telly programs. I inevitably get people coming up and asking me what I've used as my medium to get all these films, and I use PowerPoint. To me, a white screen and black writing and reading it all out is pointless.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and we don't fire bullets at people. It's not the tool, it's how it's used. I'm getting repetitive about that, but I don't mind.
Oh, I think that's it. I mean,
it's how it's used.
One of the nicest presenters I think I've seen is Stephen Heppel in his day. I mean, he used to use, I think, HyperCard back in the day, but I saw
him... You watch Stephen. I mean, we were with him last weekend at Bet.
Bet, yeah.
You know how he does it? He has his Mac on and he has a desktop.
Yeah, that's what he
does.
And on
that desktop, he's got pictures and he's got that desktop split into different sections so that he can randomly go. I mean, I use PowerPoint, but people, I hope, don't get it because I've got hyperlinks, as John Devitt would say, within it so that if somebody brings something up, I can dance off somewhere else, you know, and have... constantly changing. I've never done the same presentation twice. Inevitably, I'm eco-friendly, so I recycle a lot of my material, but I've never done the same order twice. Yes, the way Stephen works, I utterly...
Yeah, I like the Finder stuff, and also when he did use, way back in the day, when he used HyperCard, he used it in a way that was just very personal and, again, could branch off in that sort of almost random-looking way.
Right, let's get to the end of my list. Wikipedia.
Right, that's a good...
It's not true. It's made up. But the other thing about Wikipedia, if you think about it, it contains a vast amount of complex language. So you get, when your younger children are reading it, they're getting to the end of their research. You know, their research... Again, I don't know about you, how frequently do you go to the second page of a Google search or a Bing search? Other search engines are available. You know, I am a bad example. We've become much more expectant that the first
hits the best,
will be it. So it's guiding our children through knowing that it's not just finding it, it's how to analyze it and, you know, and how to deal with it. Like Instagrok, I think, is a fantastic tool because it travels with the children alongside them, coming up with alternative suggestions for interrelated concepts and so on. But again, it's analyzing it. I suppose I mentioned Wikipedia, and you asked me what tool I would go back to. Have you come across Simple English Wikipedia?
Yeah, when I was teaching kids in Glasgow, that was the one I used for them because of the reading. It was much easier to read.
Simple English Wikipedia isn't a translation of Wikipedia.
No,
it's written by different people. So for me, the aspect of, and you know, brilliant, slow down. If you look at Wikipedia, and if you put Simple English Wikipedia alongside Wikipedia, and you can, have you heard of Again But Slower? Again But Slower. It used to be againbutslower.com, I think, but it's disappeared. And what I might do is Sarah maybe can find it, the address, and we'll send it to you and you can put it up. But what Again But Slower does, and I think Again But Slower is named after how we as English people speak other people's languages and louder. But Again But Slower puts Wikipedia alongside Simple English Wikipedia. Now, if you think about it, you've got then the opportunity to analyse use of language. You know, how did it describe it and how did it describe it? But also, very simply, you've got the opportunity to look at veracity of information. Mm-hmm. This one says there are 2 varietals. This one says there are 7. And I think it's lead by example, lead by finding tools that enable these things. But remember, it's focused on what comes from it. We found it. It's oranchak.com, oranchak.com. /againbutslower.com.
Yeah, it looks like somebody's stolen their domain a wee while ago because it's a Chinese advert. But yeah, that's great because it just is. Yeah.
No, I mean, occasionally these things. My personal, you know, because we are looking at the impact these things can have on standards. I've enjoyed the challenge of finding newbies. But I love going back to some of the old ones, and inevitably, because the majority of what we look at is either open source, or I tried to look for free stuff to make it accessible to schools that might be challenged otherwise. Very often those can get, sadly, lost under the miasma of funding. So yeah, that Again But Slower went very much like, I don't know, have you seen the Bayer Tapestry Maker?
Oh yeah, that was great. I used that just a wee while ago for DS106, actually. So.
It surfaced again. I don't know. I've put it up recently on timrylands.com as a link of a day, but it surfaced again. So somebody actually realizing the power of it. I mean, sad one that's gone for me recently, Storybricks. Storybricks was a sort of cross between Cartouche and Scratch, and sadly that there's a message on it just in the last few days that it's gone under. So again, I don't think we should expect things to be free. And should drop something in the tip box.
Yeah, I mean, I think a wee while ago, just not on a for educational purposes, but on a personal purpose, you know, the Delicious was in danger. I'm quite happy paying for some things online, like pay for Flickr, I pay for various other things, just because you think if you're a paying customer, there's more chance of them keeping things up, you know?
Well, yes, I mean, the aspect, you know, my favourite paid-for tool, Crazy Talk, I just adore the idea of things that can flow from that.
Mm-hmm.
That started out as a something that was struggling along, bumping along as a free resource and cannot survive. And yeah, we do need to support those tools that we find of value.
I think that's probably a place we could maybe just draw in now, Tim?
I mean, I sat before we started and thought, what structure could this rambling, slightly butterfly mind? And, you know, I thought about an A to Z. But to me, the A to Z is the two bit. It's the taking the time in learning journeys. If we're constantly, you know, I'm very fortunate from my teaching rather than the technology, and people have picked up on the lo and behold thing we've done. I don't know whether you've followed that. It's the idea of, you know, if we give children the Z, if we tell them the aim of the lesson, there's the classic things, it's like giving away the punchline of the joke before you told the joke. To me, it's far more effective to, I write my L-O on a piece of card, place it face down in my classroom, and at the end we have a game of L-O, lo and behold, where they guess my learning objective.
Right, right.
Now, if I got my lesson right, they get it. But if I got my lesson better than right, they came up with more than one objective, stern-looking inspectory man. So it's about, you know, an approach to affinity and beyond, an empathy with the children you teach rather than anything electronic for me.
Well, we're circling right back, I think, to the first thing I said. A wee earlier, we haven't done the A to Z, we only got to D.
Good.
But earlier on, you sort of hinted that you might be interested in coming back and doing some other letters of the alphabet. Would that be at some point? Can we maybe go for that? Because I think this has been really valuable, Tim.
If we can do what we did, which is not just to charge through letters.
I don't think
that would be good. It's when we are very fortunate to be incredibly busy.
We'll be in touch, or David will be in touch
tonight. Great, yeah, we're heading off to Chennai to Madras, as was in a week or so's time.
Yeah.
But I love the fact, the power of technology, because who matters where we are? You're miles away from me. I'm down here now in darkest, deepest Somerset, and you're up there, so it doesn't matter where we are. So yep. We're up for it.
That'd be brilliant, because I think it's been fascinating, exciting, and hilarious at the same time. So that's a pretty good show for me. I just had a lovely evening. Thanks very much.
No problem. I mean, I've mentioned the blog, but again, refreshingly, we don't have anything to sell.
Unless
people register, they don't get put on an emailing list offering them assistance with parts of their anatomy they didn't even know they had. So, you know, if people fancy going, it's always good to keep in touch.
It's a fantastic site, and it's timrylands.com, I believe.
TimRylands. We put up all our events wherever they are, but if people just click on the useful and interesting, they'll get more of the A to Z of a rambling mind.
And you're at Tim Rylands on Twitter.
That's correct. I'm slightly less frequently twittering these days because I'm trying to train myself out of thinking in tweets. I realised I was walking along thinking, "Oh, that would be funny. Oh, that would be." So I'm trying to become slightly more analog, but I do find Twitter to be the most powerful way of learning and keeping in touch. Yeah,
I think I go back and forward on it, Twitter, as to its use, but that's probably an argument for another time that we've had on here.
Well, it's incredibly useful.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes it can take over.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it's useful because it's, as Sarah puts it, it's looking out, whereas Facebook is looking in to some extent. Wow. But, it's rationing analog time. You know, I started my A to Z, which we just hinted at, on looking at analog. I love the fact that we've reflected more on the teaching. You know, I was blessed when I won my award that they said something about with a warm affinity with his children. If you think we have to know our students, their needs, and the fact that they, some of them turned up at school at least, if a technology can have an enticing, intriguing, get them in and move them forward, then great. If not, I think we need to refer back to something as black and yellow as graphite in the middle. You know, it's about,
yeah, it's definitely about connections and a bit of human warmth rather than technology. And that's the
even though I'm down here in darkest, deepest Somerset, it's getting cold, so I'm going to sign off now.
Okie doke, Tim, thank you very much.
Cheers for now.
I'm just going to say to everybody else listening, great show from Tim.
Good night, both of you.
Thank you. I think David's he's acting up to HT at the moment in his school, which is a residential one, and I think he's just back on the job by now. So I'm going to say good night in a wee minute, and I can just remind folk that the audio from this should be up within a few days. I'm still working my way through the audio from the Association of Chartered Teachers conference at the weekend, where we had some really good stuff. And next week, we've got Charlie Love, who is well kent in Scotland for being fairly amusing, who's built television.
Fairly amazing. What? How is it possible for somebody to be fairly amazing? That's almost like slightly unique, almost.
Charlie is probably is very, very amazing, but I don't want to put that. We're going to be talking about the ICT and Excellence Committee that's just reported to the Scottish Government and the future of GLO. So, until next week, folks, thanks very much, and thank you again, Tim, for brilliant stuff. Thank you. Cheers.
No problem. This leg end is now going to go and move his legs whilst he still can. So cheers for now, and let's look forward to doing the next session sometime.
Right.
Bye, Ope.